going to be the first real king of England since the Reformation.
Yeah. Okay, I think we're ready.
Okay.
If I can keep you on the track. I'm Jude Carson interviewing Father Mike LeBlanc, and it is November 12th, 2009. Okay, what I need from you basically is, let's start at the beginning of the new church. When exactly did it open? I know it was 2000.
Oh, sorry. It opened on the 6th day of June.
6th of June, yeah.
D-Day.
Oh, okay.
For some reason, we decided that it was a victory.
Oh, okay.
And so it was a struggle with the victory at the end.
Go.
So it was.
There.
We opened on the D-Day. And the first services were unique for our tradition, because in the first service we had the word part of the service in the old church, and then we had the Eucharistic part of the service in the new church to symbolize Eucharist's Passover, and we were passing over from the old land to the new land, from the land of the past to the land of the future. And most interestingly was that night a lady was coming down after Mass with her child, and he said, "Mummy, won't it be nice when it snows?" And so, you know, that was the whole thing.
Yeah.
The reason for the church is simplicity.
Exactly. That's what I want to ask you next. Describe a bit about the design of the church.
It's a third century church. Mm-hmm. It's really what you would call a Greek monastery from the third century.
Okay.
Without the pillars now.
Right.
So if you go to the Holy Land, you're going to find a similar outside building, but mm-hmm. different inside.
Okay.
And it's simplicity based on the yin and the yang. Okay, I stole part of it from P.I. He was the great American architect.
Yeah.
He built the San Francisco Cathedral, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, there's a glass on the four corners.
Right.
So
yes.
The outer and inner, Jung says, can meet each other.
Oh, okay.
Because only when the outer and inner are at peace are we at peace.
Okay.
So it was, and the other thing was, see, in the modern people are open to the creation and the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so by allowing, not sticking stained glass windows everywhere and statues and images, from valid though they are, from formal thing.
Mm-hmm.
As Jung says, everybody needs a statue, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Till they're 14 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have your own image of God.
Yes.
And so it was important to do that. It was important to make it simple so they would stay focused. And like even the color of the paint was chosen to calm people down.
It is. It's very interesting because it is. It's almost an atmosphere.
Yes, right. Because a building is, according to our tradition and to the Hebrews,
mm-hmm.
the building is itself a sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
It's itself a holy place by its very design, by its very nature.
Mm-hmm.
It calls us to prayer.
Mm-hmm. You had said at one time that you consider the church part of part of the entire community, like it is
right.
to be a gathering place
right.
aside from the religious aspect. Can you just...
Well, because you see, in our tradition, to the 14th century, with leaving of the first three centuries and the 14th century, after the 14th century, Christmas was very important. He came and lived among us. Here, can I just say this? So, we are one of the few incarnational religions where our God came and became a human being.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in the human living that we return to the Creator. And He walks the journey back with us as our brother
mm-hmm.
to the Father. And so that it is normal, the only way we can honor the Father is to open ourselves in prayer to what He would want us to do. And that should make us into people of compassion, and therefore we should be brothers and sisters with all people with whom we share the earth. And so using our so-called holy building for a symphony concert or for a celebration or for a celebration of life of some prominent people whose churches are a little small and can't accommodate, or for a blood donor downstairs on Monday night,
mm-hmm.
that is all life-giving.
Mm-hmm.
That is all what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
We're here in this life to to celebrate what is good, what is noble, what is beautiful, what is true. Mm-hmm. Remember the absolutes in philosophy? Those are what we're here. And we're supposed to make them real to people. But what we forget sometimes is that we are no longer in the philosophy age of Europe. We're in an existential age where people see things as they are. So when you create a place where the trees are still there, the water is behind them, they can admire that. Like, say, I always say, if a practicing Catholic and a searcher go to church together, the Catholic can enjoy the liturgy of the church, and the Catholic the searcher can have a spiritual meditation and journey through the creation and through the quieting, you know.
One of the ladies that I spoke to, who's been a long-time member of St. Paul's, she said one of the things she liked about what was happening in the church community today is the interaction and cooperation between our church and their church, and she mentioned the funerals, you know, and she felt that was a good thing.
Yes, well, see, the thing is, see, that if we see ourselves as growing, as the Catholic Church says, one of the beautiful truths is that in every generation we are more Christian. Christ is more present. He has lived longer among us. Mm-hmm. So he's more fully with us. So if he is more fully with us, then we should be more Christ-like in every generation. And 400 years ago there were differences for whatever reasons. Mm-hmm. If we're giving a church history course, we can talk about them. But if we're living in community in Rossé now, most people don't know the Battle of the Boyne. Mm-hmm. I myself am a Francophone, although I have an Airedale's Irish mother. Most people here are English, not Irish. So the battle in Northern Ireland by King somebody or other really doesn't affect us, and helps us to get over it, but in a human way. And like when the petition was read to the town council for the church, I asked Gordon Fowether, a friend of mine for many years, but a member of a old family here of the Anglican tradition, which was the original tradition of the majority, and it wasn't like us fighting to get there, or it wasn't us trying to establish, it was like him inviting his community to allow another community to continue to grow and prosper. And the gift was when our little church burned down in 1940, the Indians allowed us to use their hall for Sunday school, Sunday school hall for the Mass.
Yes.
So you see that in St. John there's always been that kind of medley, and Dolly were friends, And we would not have survived as English Romans in without the help of Bishop Medley.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But when Medley went to Quebec, the French bishops helped him because he had been kind to the Irish way down there.
When you planned the new church, what did you base it on, the numbers? What were you envisioning that the numbers of the parish would be at that time?
Well, I was envisioning that we would have the people that we have.
That we have?
Yes.
Okay,
so and I was envisioning that it should be a little larger.
Uh-huh, okay.
See, we serve 2,000 families, okay? Now, in the old Catholic world, that means they all come to church every Sunday. Well, that's, we give real, okay. Most modern Catholics come to church 3 to 5 Sundays. That's the 60% of them, right? The rest of them are different categories, again. And we have the annual Catholics, and we have the baptismal Catholics, and we have all, but they are Catholics.
Yes.
And we don't, the church does not make a distinction.
That's right.
And even when we were young, we had that horrible term, what do you call it, former Catholic, or no.
Lapsed
Catholic.
Yeah.
But now the Vatican calls them friends of the church. See, so you see, it's a whole different approach.
Non-judgmental.
Yes, like they are friends of the church. I used to call them cultural Catholics. They have a cultural connection. You know, like Anglicans, and lots of Anglicans may not show up every Sunday, but St. Paul's is where the Anglicans go. Grandma went there, and you know, they would feel at home there.
That's right.
And so you see, we are people who have to take into consideration our past and realize this was a cottage place. People came by the rail. There were few Catholic farmers in Fairvale, five or six prominent Catholic families here. Mm-hmm. I think there were French-speaking maids who also were attending the church.
That's right.
And and then, of course, on top of St. Patrick's, that was built on the stagecoach on Tilly's Road to Amherst.
Exactly.
Tilly
well,
Highway.
Leave that for a minute because I don't want to ask you about that.
Right.
So you did see, you saw that the need was, because now you're telling...
Well, one Sunday after Christmas, I would say our church sat up 115 people, and that's being very liberal.
The old church.
Yes, and they could squeeze in 140.
That was it? Wow.
Yeah. And one Sunday after Christmas, it was a mild Sunday like today, and 400 people went to communion. People giving the communion, I keep moving down the aisle. You may not remember that, but they did at one Mass. Therefore, there were at least 200 people in the parking lot. I mean, literally in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. So at that point, you have to say, you know, this is no longer adequate.
Right.
You know. I mean, no matter what argument you can use, and we did, our initial plan was to add 60 seats. You know that.
That was it.
Yeah, we were going to buy the property next door and add 60
exactly.
seats.
Yeah.
But we would have a lot loose parking, believe it or not, even then.
Yeah.
So, and that was going to cost, like, I know, $600,000 because of all the upgrading and the code and all that
exactly.
stuff. So that was it. See, I couldn't see. See, I think my one gift is, this is personal, but in seminary, see, I always was an intellectual and always maybe was ahead of my time. As my chaplain, university say, Mike, you're 20 years ahead of your time. You're always going to struggle with that. Anyway, so they wouldn't let me in my catechetical module, what you call it, supervision, wouldn't let me go to high school. I had to go to elementary school. But, you know, there's a God. And so Sister Mother Story, she's a Sacred Heart sister, mm-hmm. who had been a member of the board that created the Canadian Catechism, retired from Montreal to Halifax to live in the Sacred Heart Convent. And she supervised me in elementary education.
Oh, okay.
So I'm one of the few priests, males, who were supervised in elementary education.
Mm-hmm.
I also read a book by Vama, the great French man teacher,
mm-hmm.
and he, like Dr. Penfield and all these wonderful people, said early is important.
Mm-hmm.
So, like when we were readjusting the catechism and we said confirmation is going to grade 8,
mm-hmm.
and you know, horrible, horrible thing. You know, we're not going to grade 9 like other people. But the trick is, we added the kindergarten.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that is significant, you see, because
mm-hmm.
younger minds earlier are more formed.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time people are in grade 8, they have had made a connection with community, or they haven't.
Mm-hmm.
They may make it in a, you know, in a 40, but
mm-hmm.
you know, so it was important to do that. It was a struggle to get the corporation. There are 7 spiritualities in that church, eh? 7 components.
Mm-hmm.
And upstairs is additional chapel, which is the obvious one. There is the beautiful sanctuary area, which is one. In a modern sense, the choir loft is upstairs. The foyer is there.
Mm-hmm.
The storage room is downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way I could sell it was the men wanted the storage room. The liberal women wanted the foyer. The traditionalist women wanted the choir loft. So it's the men's space. It's the same space, but it's on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
So you sell them as a package.
Okay, yeah. And it worked. Yeah.
And in the end, we didn't have the old chapel in when it opened, and some people came in later. Some of the modern people were mad. I said, well, that's what we promised. But what we did, we took, plus the downstairs is the 7th component, we took 7 spiritualities or communities that make up our community,
mm-hmm.
and we minister to them all.
Mm-hmm.
And in the division at the headquarters, I'm a consultant for the bishop, so many of them wanted to cut back this and that, something else. You would know this man, a bit of man, John McLoone, he's a businessman profession, and he and I are friends, anyway, from Stanley days. Anyway, he voted for me. The thing is, I refused to compromise,
mm-hmm.
and I'm you know, Father Hennenberg, I refused to let him not have it. He wouldn't give us a million for downstairs, but I just refused. I would build nothing,
mm-hmm.
you know, without the youth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and this, I don't say this,
no.
but see, this is, I've worked with street people on the floor and drug dealers and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I did know Gwyneth Runaway. So I have another life, okay? Mm-hmm. But, and these people are wonderful people, okay? But they are who they are. Mm-hmm. Now, I figure some young professional, just, you know, newly mated from university and business, mm-hmm. comes in with their child and finds a bunch of, what do you call them, dividers in a hall. Mm-hmm. Well, I would be unimpressed by it as a male old man. But I was a young, liberated, progressive mother. I wouldn't send my kid to that. Mm-hmm. So originally, you know, where the catechism is there, where the kindergarten and that unit was supposed to be the parish offices, you know.
Oh, right.
That's why it's got the carpet.
Oh, okay.
But see, it also has a washroom off of it. So, you see, and I've got a lot of single washrooms, you know.
Yes, yeah.
You know. And so we tried to make it, and then I lucked out to the Berry girls who taught grade one, taught the kindergarten for me. So just when people were going to yell or scream, mm-hmm. it was Madame Haroon and Madame Berry. So, I mean, how perfect could it be? And then, of course, by providence, we had built a step on the other side. Mm-hmm. So if you're anxious, mother, you could step on those steps and look in your kid and watch it for the first way. Okay. So you see, mm-hmm. those are things I understand. Mm-hmm. I understand welcoming. I understand how you welcome children and parents and calm them down. You know, life is a matter of choice. And if there is a value, you can present it in an invitational, gradual way, or in a rigid kind of, you're going to flunk or be lost if you don't get it. Mm-hmm. And I don't see the value of that approach. Mm-hmm. I don't think in our society it's useful. And to people who have probably not gone to church every Sunday since they were confirmed, they probably, the more gradual, the kid's happy in the class, mm-hmm. you know, the kid has a celebration. And luckily, one of our members in the planning suggests having a stage. Well, that stage was a wonderful thing to put in.
Yeah, that's right.
And not a, you know, we didn't think of that originally. It really wasn't a part, but one person thought that we did, and mm-hmm. it's worked out wonderful.
Oh, okay.
And the other thing is for the kitchen. I may come from a modest background, but I knew that you couldn't have people using a kitchen without everything in it. Mm-hmm. And so it was going to be no sparing, and it was done. Everything was done quality-wise. And even we can switch a switch, and the sound goes downstairs. So if we had a TV there, we could have mass downstairs too. You know, if we ever expand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was all built to try to serve every need and the young people. We have 800 children in our Sunday school.
660
Koreans. We have catechism for K-6. Before and after 10 o'clock mass, and the grade 7 and confirmation class at night, and 1 to 2 in the afternoon is Korean, with Korean fellowship or tea time, 2 hours on mm-hmm. last Sunday. So, and we run all kinds of community things, and prayer groups, Korean and English and everything. Mm-hmm. And but you see, it's so simple that it would appeal to the Koreans. It would appeal to, and the Madonna is a universal Madonna. It's mm-hmm. not a European image overdone. You know what I mean? Not a restricting Madonna. She's everybody's mother.
So
those things were done out of a sense of even stained glass windows were put where they are. They weren't put on a wall, so you put the rest of them on a wall. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
A touch of everything. You know, and like the ambry where the oils are, Bishop Medley's, the first holy man, friend of Cardinal Newman's, a great man at Oxford, a great man in the Anglican Catholic tradition. We have his, you know, mm-hmm. and then we have Bishop Dollard, the first Catholic bishop. We have his preacher in the chapel. So we connect with the past, we're not overwhelmed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And the wonderful El Greco painting copy from the Sagrada family. Mm-hmm. You know, we just a taste of everything, mm-hmm. you know, and the wonderful baptistry, of course, from St. Paul's Valley.
Oh, right.
And the furniture from St. Paul's Valley, the couturement, which works nice, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And just a nice bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but you go to church on Sunday or you drive by and it's still, the parking lot's full, people are parking on the street, so is this one big enough for what it needs?
Yes and no. It will be big enough maybe in 10 years when the community ages.
Mm-hmm. Nicely put.
You know, we could use a bigger church at the moment.
Right. Okay.
We could use another clergyman too, but we're not going to get one.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know.
But there are a lot of young families, are there not?
And who attend.
Yes.
More regularly than most communities. We are the most attended church in English-speaking New Brunswick of people under 40.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, because that's what it appears.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. And they, but to see, it's like all groups, they know each other. Okay? I don't put this in, but like when Mark Pelche came and Melissa, dear, they moved in next to Chris and Long and his wife. Now, I mean, who's a better man than Chris Long? And he's a lovely wife, but he brought the kids since they were that big,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
8:15 minutes. So she phones her up, and she's a good United. You know, she's, you know, oh, yeah, so, oh, yeah, the Mrs. Howard, now that we'll kind of carpool for the catechism, a carpool, because Chris does the hockey for Matthew. Eh? He's,
right.
Matthew's on the hockey team. Okay. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it all, but see, that's what works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the young people feel welcome, their friends feel welcome,
mm-hmm.
and get real.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to see first confessions because Saturday morning's hard and they can't all be in town Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
We have two first communions and we do some privately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you accommodate the needs of the community.
Well, we have to kind of realize that I say 25% of our people are out of the province or out of the country. Any Sunday, any weekend. So if you don't acknowledge that
mm-hmm.
and kind of work around it,
mm-hmm.
you know, then you're making it impossible for people to express their faith mm-hmm. when they can.
Okay.
You know, and yes, you can say that the Reverend Baptism's on the first Sunday of the month, and I do 97 a year. What do I do with them? Well, I have such a big crowd, I never get to know them.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't get to know them as well as I'd like,
right.
but at least I have some kind of connection
mm-hmm.
with some of them.
Right. Yeah.
Because I do them two at a time, or at most three at a time.
So sometimes. You don't do the all at
one? No.
It's like an assembly line.
It is, yeah. and it's also not the way English people would do it. I'll tell you a story. I once had a friend of mine who was a sister. Who worked in the English community, I suppose it is, Irish community.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't understand why they didn't cry at the grave. I said, well, if the good sister had gone home, wished them well, gone home and said her prayers, they could have. But they couldn't purposely express their feelings in front of the sister.
Okay.
So the English are different than the Irish.
Yeah.
And here we have a wonderful mixture. I've had baptisms of Brazilian people. People fly in, a weekend baptism, people fly in private planes from Boston, Rio de Janeiro, father flies in from Moncton, you know, with the Kenneport and these things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you know, you can say Sunday is the day of the Lord, which of course it is. You can say, I do baptism for Saturday. You wouldn't know anything about doctors, but
yeah.
but I baptized between all the Ferguson kids on Saturday, say, because her brother is a doctor and his wife's a doctor
okay.
in Cape Breton, and they can come on those. Young doctors get Sunday. Surprise.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know that. You wouldn't
yeah.
understand that.
Yeah.
But you know, but of course, Tom, but see, Michael Berry and John were in my youth group way back in Assumption, eh?
Oh, okay.
So they'd be at the time. You know. But what I mean is, what I'm trying to say is that I got to go to that because
okay.
Watch an angel or whatever.
Okay, I'll just stop that for
that's why
a minute.